Look at Romans chapter 12 tonight. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit, and tonight, one of the little sentences, one little short sentence in our Articles of Faith says, He bestows spiritual gifts to every believer. Now, I was working on this, and I was talking on the phone, and I'd come back and I'd work on it, and he'd call me again, and so I got to the point where I thought, I wonder how much I've done, because you can't, it's hard to, I was doing it in little breaks, and I realized I had four full pages, and I went, we're never going to get through that tonight, so we'll just go for a few minutes as long as we can, and then we'll have to pick up next week. But there's a lot in the Word of God about the gifts that God has given you through His Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 talks about it a little bit. And we'll begin reading in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Father, help us, Lord, as we focus on your word. We surrender to you, and we ask that your help would come in the form of the Holy Spirit as he teaches us and guides us into all truth. Fill me now, I pray. I surrender to thee. And Father, we'll thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 12 that the Bible begins in verse 1 and 2 of those famous verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we examine Romans chapter 12 as a whole, we find a wonderful progression that will help every believer here tonight. Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, he beseeches us, or he begs us. Can you imagine tonight a holy God begging us for anything? But the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, we are to humble ourselves. We are to sacrifice. We are to cut off those things which hinder us in our walk with God. We are to be very careful of those associations that would hinder us in serving Him. And He says, I want you to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God. And how do we do that? Well, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, he says, I don't want anybody thinking highly of themselves. Why? Because once we have sacrificed, and once we have surrendered, and once we find that perfect will of God, anything that we do for God is only because the Holy Spirit has come in and gifted us to do His work. There's no room for conceit there, is there? There's no room for anything. I was trying to, in our preacher boys class, we were talking to the boys and trying to teach them some things and give them some pointers and helping them with their outlines. And I said, here's what's going to happen, young men. You need to understand this, that when you preach at the church on Wednesday night, I said, we're going to have you come over here and shake some hands. And I said, folks are going to come by and they're going to try to encourage you. And they're going to say, man, that was just a wonderful message. And I appreciate so much your willingness. I said, that's going to happen. I said, the folks just have a spirit. They want to encourage your heart. I said, you shouldn't stand there and smile. So yeah, I did a good job, didn't I? You're right. That was just wonderful. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better if I tried. I said, you need to always remember that as God uses you, nod and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, but praise the Lord. It is God that works through us. There's no room for conceit. There's no room because we're not to think more highly of ourselves. And then the Bible says in verse 4, why? For as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, he says God has placed you in a body. God has given you a job description. He has put something into the local church that would help and complement one another. And then he goes into some of those gifts in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And on he goes with all these gifts. I want to encourage you now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll spend most of our time right there in that chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to show you that the gifts occur in more than one passage. Now, you know, there's a myth that's going around that everybody should speak in tongues. Now, we're going to take some time later on, and we're going to just spend some time on tongues. We're going to talk about that. That's a dangerous doctrine in a modern age. But, you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gave gifts severally as He will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we have gifts that are differing according to the measure of grace. In other words, God's grace just gives us all different gifts. Now, that's not to say you don't have more than one gift. That's not to say that you should not covet earnestly the best gifts. And that word covet doesn't mean be jealous of somebody. That doesn't mean that because Paul has the gift of hospitality that I should be jealous of him and want what he has. That word covet means to pursue with all your heart. That means when you discover the gifts that God has given you, you ought to use them for His glory and pursue to do your very best to use His gifts for Him. The Bible says we are to stir up the gift of God, which is within us. And so we want to look, first of all, tonight at the distribution of spiritual gifts. Not everyone is going to speak in tongues. Not everyone is going to preach. Not everyone is going to have the gift of ministry or hospitality. And so the Bible says, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and excuse me, in verse 29, it says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet shall I unto you a more excellent way. I remember in Bible college, I think I've shared this with you, going out with some fellows, and we were in Taco Bell, and this lady was going around table to table, and we found out later she was witnessing to people, and most of the people there were at a convention. And professed to be Christians or what have you. And so she was just talking and fellowshipping. And she came to our table. She just sat down. Didn't even ask. Just sat down. And she says, fellas, let me ask you, are you a Christian? And she began to win. And we said, well, yeah, we're trained to be Bible college, trained to be missionaries, pastors, what have you. And she said, well, have you got the gift of tongues yet? We said, no, ma'am. And she looked at another. Do you have the gift of tongues? And we said, no, ma'am. And she said, well, that's the sign of the Holy Spirit within you. I said, not necessarily so. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, that everybody gets a gift. But in verse 30, he said, are all speaking in tongues? Everybody at that church had got a gift, but they weren't all speaking in tongues. And I just use that as one small example to say this, that God is distributing those gifts, the Bible says, severally as He will. The Holy Spirit is implanting something in your heart and life the day you got saved, that you might be a complement one to another. Now, think about this. The Bible says the church is a body. Am I not on? It's hard to tell, I'm so loud. The Bible says that the church is a body. All right? Can you imagine a body that every part was just a nose? Now, how would that help you? How would that function? What if God looked down and said, Brother Paul, you know what? I've just decided your body's going to be a little different. I'm going to give you one ear, three noses, one eye, and no mouth. Can you imagine when you got a cold? Wouldn't that be a mess?
But God says you're a body. In other words, those parts complement each other. And so can you imagine a church, Bethel Baptist Church, that had 300 preachers? You can hardly put up with the one you got. Can you imagine if all of us were preachers? Can you imagine if all were given those one gift, but the other gifts lacked? What if there was no one that showed mercy? What if there was no one that showed grace and goodness and kindness? So it's important that those gifts complement one another. So the Holy Spirit has given these gifts, and the Bible says he has given them severally as you will. I want you to notice, first of all, the giver of the gift was Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, now wait a minute, aren't they called the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, they are, but let me show you what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the Bible is very clear, isn't it? Jesus Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and it lists several of those gifts. Jesus Christ is the giver of the gift. Now, the problem is many people seek the gifts and not the giver. We need to seek Jesus Christ. He said, now, what about the Holy Spirit? The gifts were distributed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me see if I can illustrate for you this. Several years ago when we first had Brendan and we had our first Christmas together, he was just about 8 months old at Christmas time. And then the next year, he got a little bigger. And the next year, finally, we had Emily come along. And so when Brendan was about 3 years old, we were sitting at mom and dad's, and my grandma was there, and my mom and dad were there, and Wade and Rebecca were there, and they hadn't had any kids yet. She was expecting Paige, and Brendan and Emily were there, and Brendan said, Papa, can I give out the gifts? Every little kid loves to do that, don't they? And so he said, yeah, you can give out the gifts. So we read the Bible story together, and we got time to get the gifts, and so my dad would give Brendan a gift, and it was a gift from my mom and dad, and it was a gift from my wife. So Brendan ran over, and he gave that to my wife, and he says, here, Mom, this is from me. And then he'd get the next one, and it was for Aunt Rebecca. And so he'd run over, hey, Aunt Rebecca. He says, this is from me. And my dad was getting frustrated. You know my dad, he'd get frustrated. He said, now, Brendan, that's not from you. That was from Nana. That was from Papa. That was from Uncle, or from your dad, for Uncle Wade. But he thought it was from him. And he kept getting those gifts. That's kind of what this is like. The Holy Spirit isn't the giver of the gift, but he distributes the gifts. He assigns them. He is the superintendent of the church. He is Christ's representative here on a regular basis. And by the way, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come by, we might as well not have church. But that Holy Spirit comes and he makes sure that you have that gift that Jesus Christ so wonderfully paid for on the cross. And he gives you that gift and he says, now use it for Christ's glory. He only distributes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're back there. And the Bible says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing. It doesn't say he gives, does it? It says he divides them. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. It is God that decides who gets these gifts. I don't want you to fall under that myth that says, well, I can decide what gift I want. It doesn't work that way. My mama has a hard time. I don't know why she does. She says, what do you want for Christmas? And I always say the same thing, nothing. And that bothers her. And she says, well, I mean, tell me something. I said, Mom, I said, anything you get, I'm happy with. It doesn't bother me. I mean, if you get me socks, if you get me clothes, I don't care. Anything, I'm happy with. But that bothers her. Well, I want to know what you want. And I said, well, I might as well buy it myself if I'm just going to tell you what I want. Surprise me, you know? And I said, but sometimes we as Christians think that way. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Are all preachers, are all apostles, are all evangelists? No. We'd be in trouble. What if everybody on Sunday morning came forward and said, preacher, the word of God really spoke to my heart, and all 300 people said, I'm surrendering. I'm going to go on the road and be an evangelist. I'd say, who's going to be in church next Sunday? We haven't got a one. We have to be very careful. Not everybody's called to be Miss Britton and go to India. There'd be, Miss Britton, if everybody in your teen group, and if all of Bethel back in, I'm afraid to ask the year, 1940s somewhere, surrendered. If all of Bethel surrendered to go to India at the same time, you'd have been in trouble. Because who would have supported you? Who would have prayed for her? Who would have made sure that she could ship her things over? Who would have taken care of? You understand what I'm saying? Not everybody. You don't get to pick your gift. God gives you the gift. The Holy Spirit divides it as He will. And so they were distributed according, because only the Holy Spirit knows what is the best fit for the body of Christ. Let me say this. This should help you never to complain or envy somebody else's gift. You ever done that at Christmas? I remember one year my brother and I don't know why, we just knew. We got up Christmas morning and we ran out there and there were these remote control trucks. Two of them. And I got a silver one and Wade got a black one. I mean, they were Dodge Durango or something like that, little rough and tough little truck boys would love, you know, and we were just little guys. And we unwrapped them, tore them out, and we got them out of the box, and we looked at them, and we looked at each other, and we traded. Both of us knew what the other was thinking. I knew that he wanted silver, and he knew I wanted black. And we didn't even have to talk about it. We traded. But you know, it doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit knows what's best for you. You can't just switch. You can't envy. You can't get upset. You know, sometimes as kids, you look at them, well, why didn't I get one of those? No. The Lord knows best. And He's chosen it for a purpose. So the Holy Spirit is the one that divides these gifts. And by the way, they're distributed to all believers. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. Every man. Not just some. Everybody received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everybody, when they got saved, got a birthday gift. Every one of you. I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, the discovery and the development of spiritual gifts. I want you to know that there's no command in Scripture that directs the believer to know exactly what your spiritual gift is. But there are some hints towards it. The Bible says to covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, again, the word covet does not mean what the Ten Commandments says when thou shalt not covet. But what it means in the New Testament here is it means to earnestly pursue the gift that God has given you. So stir up the gift of God. The Bible says that we are in 1 Peter, the verse we just read in 4 verse 10, we are to minister with that gift. You can't minister with it if you don't know what it is. And so though there is no command, the Bible seems to be very clear to me that we are to covet the best gifts, we are to minister with those gifts, we are to put them to use and stir up the gift of God. And so if we are to know and to develop these gifts, we have to know what they are to develop them for God's glory. So first of all, let me make something or help you understand something. I think it's to help me. There are different types of gifts. Not every gift you have is spiritual. Do you understand that? First of all, you have natural abilities. Some people were just born with natural gifts. You know that? How many of you know that when Daniel Smith sits down at the piano, you say, boy, that boy's got something right there. There was just something. Mrs. Baker, same thing. There's just a musical talent that was given to them. And I could play the piano for 40 years and not even get close to their abilities. God hasn't gifted me with that. And as my grandfather, it was much to his chagrin. I mean, my grandfather used to do a one-man, he'd play the piano, he had a harmonica on his thing, and a bass drum on his foot while he played all three. He just loved music. He could play any brass instrument, any woodwind instrument. He'd just pick them up and play them by ear. That was his gift. He was like an old-time Bob Melford. I mean, he'd just play anything. And his grandkids couldn't do anything. And boy, it bothered him. But that's an ability. That's something God gives people. Some are born, me on the other hand, I was given the physical stature of an athlete. God has given some people a physique. Some people are born strong and able to do much with it. That's natural ability. That's not a spiritual gift. But let me say this. You can also use your natural abilities for God too. You can use those gifts that Mrs. Baker has, and you can use the natural physical abilities. And you know we've witnessed around here in the last year that like Mr. Cahill, Mr. Felder just have they've made things look nice. They have that ability to transform the grounds. I can't do that. I don't have a green thumb. I'm all thumbs. You know, it's difficult for me. We work on the gardens at home, and I work on those things for hours, and they look worse than when I started. But those men, God has given, and their wives too. Wives come in here and they touch something and turns to gold. That's a gift. And you can use those natural abilities for the Lord. And you should. And then there's also the acquired abilities. Things that you learn. Things that you apply yourself to. And by the way, you can use those for God's glory as well. You might say, well, I don't have the natural ability, but I'm going to work at it. I'm going to acquire it. I'm going to work hard and study and learn. You can use that for God's glory. And then we have the spiritual gifts. And those are those graces that God gives you at your spiritual birth. And so as you identify those things, you say, well, how will I know? Friend, those things will jump out at you. Over time, quite frankly, normally, they're more easily noticed by other people. Somebody might identify in your life, well, you know what? You just have that spirit of giving. You know, there's a gentleman that, I'm not going to say his name, but he comes to church, and I just whenever I think of some of the things that he's done, I think, man, the guy just loves to give. Loves to give. And we talk about that. That is something others might notice, that spiritual gift. And once you find out what that spiritual gift is, be a good steward of it. The Bible says it is important in stewards that man be found faithful. God has given you something, and he's given it to you for use for his glory. So be a good steward. As you serve the Lord, it'll become apparent that you are gifted in some areas. If God has given you the gift of teaching, for example, then employ it. Begin to study and teach and communicate God's word. And then the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And then we've already talked about that word covet, but there are gifts that God gives. But you know, there are some things that every one of us should strive for. In other words, don't use it as an excuse. Well, you know, God doesn't give me the gift of mercy, so I might as well just slam everybody who comes around me. Now, let me say this. I'll give you seven examples. One, you say, well, God has not given me the gift of ministering. We're going to look at the gifts next week. We won't have time tonight. But he says, God has given me the gift of ministering. But the Bible says very clearly in Galatians 5:13 that we are to serve one another. So you see, though you don't have the gift, you're not off the hook. In other words, when you are given the spiritual gift, it comes natural to you. Or let me rephrase that. It becomes supernatural to you. It's something that God has allowed you to have and allows you to do, and it's just a gift that God gives you and allows you to minister to other people. But the Bible says we are to serve one another. So we're all on the hook. And then what about exhortation? Well, I haven't got the gift of exhortation, but the Bible says very clearly in Hebrews 10:25 that we are to exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are to exhort one another. The Bible says, you might say, well, what about the spiritual gift of giving? I guess I don't need to tithe. Pastor, I don't need to tithe, Brother Glacky. I don't have the gift of giving. But the Bible says every man should give. It says, as God purposeth in a heart, let a man give. So let a man give. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Chapter 9 and verse 8. I got that backwards. He said, well, the pastor asked me to teach a Sunday school class, but you know, I don't have the gift of teaching. So maybe I don't need to bother with that. I think the Great Commission says that we are to go therefore and teach all nations. So you see what I'm getting at? Though you may not be gifted in a certain area, God still commands us that we ought to strive to do our best in that area anyway and to be a wonderful blessing to others. You say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. The Bible says we are to go all the world and preach the gospel. You say, I don't have the gift of faith. The Bible says we are to walk by faith. And so again, we are commanded by God to exercise those spiritual gifts. Well, we're going to look at the description of spiritual gifts next week. We'll look at what those gifts are. There's two different categories we're going to look at. There's the apostolic or sign gifts, and then there's the spiritual gifts that are in use today. And so I hope that'll be a help and blessing to you. There is a lot to cover and a lot of scripture, but it's good to get into God's word. So let's have Pastor Glacky come. He's going to lead us in our prayer time tonight. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift that you give. Help us, Lord, to use it for your glory, that we might worship you more perfectly. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.